does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it
all. This morning on the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy. It's the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
We've waited a full year after sitting in it for the full year.
We want to prove people wrong. I think a lot of people on the team have that game in the back of our mind. That's not who we are.
Caden Smith, who's a sophomore. Outside, Lance Jones, three, 80 caught it, and that's the result. And that'll do it, and Purdue advances to the round of 32.
Offensively, we got to push the basketball. We got to look to attack these guys. You just keep scoring the basketball, then you got to go jam.
A top rank. Boilermakers, number one seed, Colvin on the wing, shot clock at four, Jones a three, he claims it, on their feet in full throat, the Boilermakers are going to the Sweet 16.
EK out on Smith, who locates Lawyer, left alone for three, it's gone! Feels like a home game, and it's raining threes for Purdue.
And the Purdue fans, you can hear them in the background. Listen closely. Whose house? Our house. This game has gone final. Purdue advances to the Elite Eight.
Take their and take their strength and make it a weakness, because you understand what's going on. The only teams beating Purdue today, and the only people up what we do, is in this room.
Braden Smith. Fake to three, gives it up top side to Lance Jones. He throws it right back to Braden. Braden wants to clear out with a shot clock at eight. Gets a screen. Kick to Lance Jones. His three on the way. Triple time! Lance Jones! Oh, we needed that one, baby. Tennessee with a chance. 12 to go in the game. Now 11. Ziegler, a three from the deep left wing, is short. Rebounded by Fletcher Lawyer. Tennessee will not foul. And wouldn't you know it? On Resurrection Sunday, the Purdue Boilermakers have turned the doubters into believers. Believe this, for the first time since 1980, Purdue is headed back to the Final Four.
It's pretty surreal, just everything that we've been through last year. Last couple years and having really tough losses, to be able to continue to fight through things and battle that adversity to be in this position is great. Everybody on our end is just, you know, looking forward to competing and playing on Saturday.
One more sleep, Purdue fans. April 6th, that will be the day when we wake up tomorrow morning, and I'm willing to bet, unless there's some obscure game in the history of Purdue basketball I'm unaware of, that they've never played a game in the month of April in the history of their program. They will coming up tomorrow night, and obviously they'll try to get to Monday night as well. Safe travels to all Purdue fans out there. Good Friday morning to you. I'm Kevin Bowen, Andy Sweeney with us. Mark Dykton, excellent there on the opener. Thank you to the audio, courtesy of Learfield, Purdue Radio Network, of course, CBS and Turner. What a moment for a fan base that has certainly thought about this moment Saturday and especially Monday for a long, long time. And as we sit here at 7:03 on Friday morning, I kind of feel how I felt the last couple Fridays, Andy Sweeney. Let's just get to the damn game.
Yeah, I'm ready to get to the game. Look at you. You took the sweatshirt off. You have official. Is that official Final
shout
Four
out,
gear from Purdue?
Shout out to my. Yeah, I got to take the sticker off.
I know you had the sticker and everything.
Shout
on
out to my
it.
Good
Look
buddy Brian Shelbourne for dropping this off at the house. So a little Final Four gear as he departs for Phoenix later today. Well, see a black and gold over Indianapolis International today.
I would imagine so. Yeah, I know a couple people trying to get out there today. You know, since Notre Dame basketball will never be in the Final Four.
Back-to-back Elite Eights a decade ago.
Again, Elite Eights. It's good to see that you're able to wear a Final Four garb today on the show. So you look good, and you're exactly right. You know, it's all about Purdue today. We'll let you rehear. We'll replay that conversation with Konzo Martin at about 7:35. He was fantastic yesterday. Greg Rakestraw will join us. We're loaded today. We'll give our predictions as I basically have told you since Monday what I think is going to happen. But you know, I did listen to Matt Painter yesterday, and he's trying to tell his team, "Hey, this is the 9-0 NC State team. This is not the team that needed to win five games in 5 days in the ACC tournament." But you know, this team, this Purdue team, KB, you already know they're legends. Win the next two games, and that goes to a different stratosphere. It puts you right alongside some of the great teams in the history of college basketball.
Mark Dykton, tremendous work.
That was great.
Thank you. We'll play that to lead off each hour here on this Friday morning.
It's powerful music. What did you search? Did you search powerful music?
I love me some I'm Not Afraid by Eminem.
I already had that kind of in the back of my head, and I just like looked up. I Googled search songs about perseverance.
We know KB loves Eminem.
I love Eminem too. Lisa Marshall Mathers. By the way, I had no idea that Morgan Wallen was last night until I drove by Lucas Oil and saw 13,000 semi-trucks with Morgan Wallen on it.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Scott Agnes's thing with McAfee and Halliburton walking them out yesterday.
I think Quentin Nelson, some Colts players, will be a part of that crew, if I'm not mistaken, tonight. So Tyrese Halliburton, a lot of business tonight to take care of. Pacers Thunder over at Gamebridge Fieldhouse.
It's a big one.
You know, it's kind of fitting the Pacers will sandwich potentially these two Purdue games this weekend. Tonight is like, Andy, remember like Colts Steelers or Colts Falcons late in the year? We were like, man, this is really big. Sunday is really, really big. Sunday is like Colts Texans. But still, tonight is really big.
You would rather be the Steelers than the Atlanta game.
Well, sure. Yes, definitely. But again, if you just would have beat the Texans, of course, you would have been in the playoffs. Huge one tonight. And the Pacers are catching a nice break injury-wise. No shade, Gilgeous-Alexander for the Thunder. Jalen Williams, who is like their probably second or third best player.
Yeah, 19 a game.
He is doubtful for tonight. We'll see about Miles Turner. He's questionable, but you know, when you see the Thunder on the schedule, still competing for the one seed out west, I don't think you expect to be 5.5-point favorites at home. But that's what the Pacers are tonight. And then again, Sunday, 5 o'clock with Miami. That is who they currently have the same exact record with. Technically, the Pacers are above them in the standings, but the head-to-head tiebreaker will be decided on Sunday. So just a huge, huge weekend for hoops. And I hope the endings for Purdue and the Pacers go better than last night at Hinkle.
Yeah. Now, you were not out there, were you? Did you happen to go out there?
I did not. And
it was a great scene until the end.
Great scene. The finish was just so jarring. You know, it's one of those things where I'm sitting there watching it. I'm like, okay, Seton Hall just scored another bucket. We might have some game pressure here on the line. And then the final possession happens. And at that point, I've gotten Maddie Bowen locked in. Okay, so I've given her the Cliff Notes version of Indiana State season. I've explained to her what's happening. I'm explaining to her this is at Hinkle Fieldhouse, and now she's into it. She's ready to go. She wants another shot of Robbie Avila's parents.
Sure.
She's seeing. I assume that's Dre Davis's child that they kept on showing. And the scene. What a take by Dre Davis, by the way, on the eventual game winner.
Yeah, 18 points last night.
She's locked in, and as soon as. Was it Larry who shot the first three on the final possession? I'm trying to think who it was. Swope? It might have been Conwell. I don't know. They all blend together at some point there.
Shot the first one, I believe.
She quickly started yelling, yes. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And Andy, I was so, like, I started sweating in the final 8 seconds. I could not believe what I was seeing. I was like, wait a minute, do they think there's only 3 seconds to go? And then they get all these looks at it, and then like Jason Kent gets his desperation tip it. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're gonna force overtime, and then it ends.
And then it's over.
Such a jarring end to a pretty beautiful run, honestly.
So what did you guys do? Did you hug? I mean, did you just sit there?
Well, I thought about doing the Sheena Holloway lift of the chin.
Okay,
you know, afterwards
the lift
there.
The chin, yes.
Yeah, but that was just I want to sit here and act like there's some Hollywood line, but damn, what an Just a jarring, awful end, really.
You know what it made me think of? Yeah, I mean, it was
9-0 run to end it, and then the final possessions like that.
It was the whole thing was just ridiculous. The way it ended. I mean, the game, it was a fun game. Again, it was just awesome. it was just a fun game. You had the ebbs and flows. One team gets up, the other team comes back. You saw a lot of that in the first half, especially. You know, you have said with the now this is obviously two different things. We're talking about Purdue and the national championship and the Final Four and everything. Like that. That's a lot different than Indiana State in the NIT. It just is, and everyone around here knows that. But, you know, you have mentioned you love sports because of the emotions around, and specifically Purdue. You know, they go to the Final Four last Sunday. They punch their ticket to Phoenix, and we know what the scene has been. The people that we've interviewed this week, you know, the emotion in our station here on The Fan, everyone that's been interviewed that's been there, you know, the emotion from former players and coaches and, you know, Robbie Hummel, a guy like him who's trying to do the media stuff, you have said you love sports because of that emotion. This is the other side of that emotion.
Sure.
This is the other side is what you saw with Indiana State, who didn't give up on the season, who thought they were going to be in. Some of them, I'm sure, probably, okay, maybe we don't get in on Selection Sunday, but they busted their ass and they got to the end of the game. It didn't go their way. They ended in a shocking fashion. And, you know, I thought Schertz after the game was pretty honest. He said, I could have coached better. We should have taken the air out of the ball. And, you know, he said, we're heartbroken. You know, like, the guys are crying. We wanted to win this. We didn't win this. And it's unfortunate they didn't.
There's an element of that's kind of Indiana State.
It really is. Yeah,
you know, they are a very explosive offense. They're not a team that sees that shot clock dwindle very often. But I also felt watching the final 90 seconds, Andy, everybody wanted to be a hero. It was like the first semi-halfway decent questionable shot everybody saw in those final possessions. They all shot it.
Right.
And I was just like, man, I'm not asking for Gene Hackman here and inside Hinkle Fieldhouse, but just a little bit of around the horn.
We don't have to go four corners.
No. But again, shout out to Trey Davis. That was a grown man's drive there to hit the eventual game winner. And now, what, by the time all the lights are on in Terre Haute this morning, Josh Schertz will probably have already signed the dotted line to St. Louis.
That's the other side of
that's
it.
That's the harsh reality, which is, frankly, I get it, but I still can say it sucks. Like, yeah. I totally understand it, but it sucks. And now, you know, I'll be curious if Matthew Graves gets the bump up there. Just a brutal end. Prayers for JMV and having to witness that last night inside of Hinkle Fieldhouse. Obviously, tons and tons of hoop stuff we'll get to today. Really nice night for Trace Jackson Davis. He got a start for Golden State last night. Had 20 points in that one. As Andy said, we're going to play back that Konzo Martin interview coming up here in about 15 minutes. It was late in the show yesterday, so I know a lot of you missed it. And, you know, the thing that is so unique about Konzo Martin for tomorrow night, Andy, is he's Purdue legend. He is a head basketball coach in college basketball, and he's a dad of a player.
Yeah.
And, like, all of those hats are super unique. And I just thought the interview yesterday, you and I looked at each other at the end, like, that was too good to just kind of leave in our 9:35 segment because he explained all of it in the 15 minutes he joined us. So looking forward, for those that missed it yesterday, to hear that. Greg Rakestraw at 8 in true Greg Rakestraw fashion. We always have some sort of, you know, high school type angle to talk with him about. And Kyle Nedenrip wrote a lot more on this yesterday in The Star. It was a little over 10 years ago, Nate Oates coached a high school basketball game in the city of Indianapolis.
That's great, isn't it?
Romulus High in Michigan,
it's
taking
unreal.
On Cathedral High School back a little over a decade ago. Curious if Rake has any memories.
I'm sure he
of
does.
That. Knowing him,
yeah, the Stevenson kid had 14 points. Hell of a jumper.
Romulus had a nice stretch four that gave Cathedral fits in that one. Three of these four coaches are high school coaches.
Oh, yeah. If Rakestraw doesn't know what happened in that game, I would honestly be stunned.
And I kind of forgot the Nate Oates Hurley family connection. I feel like a little bit of an idiot, but Nate Oates, basically the story goes that Bobby Hurley was recruiting someone at Romulus High School and created a relationship with Nate Oates. And then when there was an opening on the Buffalo staff, he got hired there. Bobby Hurley goes to Arizona State. Dan Hurley becomes the new Buffalo coach. And then he eventually moves on to Rhode Island, I think it was, after that. And eventually Nate Oates gets the Buffalo job, pulls off a huge upset in the tournament. He takes the Alabama job, and now here we are Saturday night in that second game, Alabama and UConn. And then Rafael Davis, continuing our Purdue guest of the day, he's going to join us coming up at 9.
Now, he's not going out there, is he? Davis isn't going out there.
Mark, we'll
check that in. I mean, obviously he's not out there now, given that he's joining us with the 3-hour time difference.
You know?
No.
Well, there we go.
No, I don't.
That was enlightening for Mark.
All he said was, I'm good to go.
I thought Mark had something good there. But
I know, Mark paused. I'm like, all right, he's going to give us something here.
He had perfect timing. He goes, no.
Yeah, I don't know how the Big Ten Network crew, what they're doing. Is Hummel Westwood One for the title game?
I don't know. I could find out. He's got to be, right?
His exact text to me yesterday was, yep, that's cool.
That was Rafael Davis, not Hummel.
No, not Hummel.
Who is usually that Westwood One championship game?
See, I should
Harlan,
know. I should
Kevin
know.
Harlan.
I should know
again,
what
it's
I don't
Ian
know.
Eagle, Rafferty, and Steve Smith. Is that right? Is that our TV crew?
I believe so. Yeah.
Grant Hill is now with Team USA, right?
Yeah, I believe that's right. Yeah, I should know, and I just don't know. I'll find out. I can find out for us.
Hummel and Kevin Kugler, of course, on Westwood One in the Elite Eight. There in the Detroit region.
I'm fired up for Purdue, man. I'm fired up for this weekend.
I mean, isn't this what you dream for as a fan?
It really is.
I know, like, you took a pot shot at Notre Dame, but in all seriousness, like, I'm driving in this morning thinking, this is what I want to experience at some point. Like, and I hate to get, like, overly cheesy and overly emotional, but, I mean, for a week you've got to celebrate it, and now tomorrow night you get to watch your team and potentially do something they haven't done since 1969, and that's play for it all.
And the best part about Purdue is you're the first game. I think that's the best part.
That's a great point.
You're at 6 o'clock. You're not having to wait.
You can watch in peace that second game if you win.
You win that second game. You do a little scouting and everything else. You know, a couple things I wanted to just, you know, dive into.
Did DJ Burns chirp yesterday?
We do have some sound of DJ Burns. Did he chirp or did he not chirp? Maybe we get to that here.
Mini chirp. Nothing's really mini with DJ Burns.
I think
though.
He started to chirp and then realized how it sounded, and he didn't want to make Zach Edey look less than what Zach Edey has looked like, which has been the National Player of the Year in back-to-back seasons. So we can dive into that. And then just other things like what we think actually happens on Saturday. Matt Painter talked a lot about NC State being the 9-0 team, not being the team that, you know, quite frankly, limped to the end of the regular season into the ACC. So I want to talk about that. And then, you know, I'm wondering as well, I wonder how NC State views Purdue, right? I wonder how we've talked about it from the Purdue side of everything. We can talk about it from the other side. Scotty just hit us up. It's Kugler, Kellogg, and Jim Jackson on the Westwood One call. So Hummel's basically the second radio crew for Westwood One is what I gathered.
Got it. Andy Katz there on the sideline.
Yeah, so he doesn't have to. So is Hummel not working? If not, he actually gets to watch the game instead of calling the game? Good for him.
I do want to give a shout out at some point today to a random Purdue player who I think has indirectly contributed to this run.
Okay. He's random.
Very random.
Very random.
I don't think he'll be one getting a quick text of a thank you from someone on the Purdue staff or anything like that.
Okay.
Some fans probably want to be done with him and don't even, like, why the hell is Kevin Bowen talking about this dude? But I do think, and I'll try to explain it, I do think we need to give a little hat tip to him.
I'll give a hat tip today. I got no problem doing the Derek Jeter.
I got my old school
Indy
500.
You do like that.
I thought it was a little Purdue gold.
I do.
Yeah, that matches well.
Does that work?
You're coordinated today.
Trying to coordinate.
You look like a boiler today.
Here on this Friday.
How good does that feel?
Yeah,
it feels good to be a boiler today on a Friday, Kevin Bowen.
I'll hop on the train and take it to Phoenix, right?
There you go.
We'll be looking forward to that again to set you up for today. Konzo Martin going to join us here coming up. We're going to replay that interview. Really enjoyed our conversation with him. Greg Straw at 8, Rafael Davis at 9.
Yeah, coming up, your morning check down. What did Matt Painter say about this NC State team? We'll let you hear that. And, of course, the end of Indiana State season. We'll do the check down. Konzo Martin at 7:30. It's all next here. Wake up call, 93.5-107.5 The Fan.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now, 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
When St. Jude opened in 1962, childhood cancer was considered incurable. Since then, St. Jude has helped push the overall survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. St. Jude won't stop until no child dies from cancer. Join me today in supporting St. Jude by calling 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 to become a partner in hope. Your gift to St. Jude could last a lifetime.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
6:09 tomorrow night's Purdue in the Final Four as they look to clinch their spot Monday night into the national championship game. Again, outstanding for Mark Dykton there. That's been the open we've played every single hour on this Final Four Friday. Thank you to Turner, CBS, Purdue Global Radio Network, Learfield for contributing some audio clips for that. And with that, it's a Purdue guest every day throughout this tournament run. And again, as we get to Saturday night, Rafael Davis, a man you've heard on these airwaves before, certainly Big Ten Network, former Purdue guard. He is with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Rafael, good morning. I'd like to go back to Sunday, if you don't mind. Obviously, the scenes post-game, we saw a lot of emotion out of Purdue ex-players, certainly current players and their staff. What were your thoughts as those final seconds ticked away on Sunday and you saw Purdue advance to the Final Four?
I guess if I'll be honest, my initial thought was I hope NC State wins. I hope NC State wins so they can play Purdue. My little cousin, he plays for NC State. He's from Indianapolis, right there from Perry Meridian, Jaden Taylor. So that was my first thought. But in regards to Purdue, it just felt good. It just felt like a sigh of relief. It just felt like finally. Just felt kind of happy. Just for Coach Paint mostly. Not for myself, not for the program, not for fans, just for Coach Paint. Coach Paint has done things the right way. He hasn't cut any corners. He's taken the stairs to get to the top. He hasn't faltered to the transfer portal or NIL or at a five-star rankings or any of that fan stuff. He's just done it in the old-school fashion. He's really, he should tell us. We were last place in the Big Ten just 10 years ago. He would tell us that I'm going to get fired. I get fired, we keep losing. And I can remember during that time, the radio guys wanted to fire. Media guys and TV wanted to fire. Our own media that write about Purdue and the Purdue Twitter pages, they wanted them to be fired. Our fans wanted them to be fired. And I'm just happy that Mr. Morgan Burke, that he stuck with Payton and that Payton was able to stick with Purdue and it ended up working out. It happened to be 10 years later, but this 10-year run that Coach Payton has had since finishing last place in the Big Ten, I mean, it's been unbelievable.
I want to get to Jaden Taylor here in a second. What makes Matt Painter different? Or I should say, what makes him great at what he does, in your opinion?
He just doesn't care. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but Payne just don't care. Like, I remember one time I saw Payne's phone, and I don't think he had an app on his phone that wasn't a factory app. And, yeah, this was about 2012 or whatever, 2013, but, like, Payne just doesn't care. Like, he's going to do it his way. He doesn't care what fans say. He doesn't care what media says. I mean, he cares what's going on in that locker room, how Purdue can win games. I mean, if a guy doesn't play the minutes that he wants to play in the game, he doesn't care. Like, if you want more minutes, earn them. Play in practice. Play hard. Learn our defensive schemes. I mean, he doesn't promise you anything in recruiting, so you're not expecting anything but to win when you get there. He's loyal to the soil. I mean, just my relationship with Payne since I was 14, 15 years. I was 14 when Jack Owens started recruiting me. I was 15 when I committed. And my relationship the last 16 years with Coach Payne, Coach O, Purdue, it's been just amazing. I've never felt like he was lying to me. I never felt like he was trying to get over on me. when I went through hard times, and I went through a lot of them. I mean, I can remember my oldest daughter, she's 10 now. She was born my sophomore season at Purdue, and we were last place in the Big Ten that year. So we had a terrible season, and coach is up against it. And I can still remember him bringing me into his office and sitting me down and just talking me through that, because I'm a 19-year-old kid. I don't understand what's going on. You can tell I'm flustered on the floor. I wasn't playing great. And he, basketball aside, he brought me into his office, and he told me what it was like to be a young parent. He told me what it was going to be like growing up with her, and maybe and me and her mom weren't together. He talked me through that. I mean, Coach Payne has been I had a great father, but Coach Payne has been like an uncle figure to me. He's been like a guy that I lost a job as an adult just a couple years ago, and that first call I made was my mom, second call I made was my father, third call I made was Coach Payne. So, I mean, and Coach Payne got me in the right direction in a matter of 5 minutes. So Coach Payne is he cares about you off the floor. So when you're on the floor, that's why you're going to run through the wall for him. I can remember us having that conversation my sophomore year, and I left that office, and I left it feeling as though I'll do whatever I could for this guy. And then after that sophomore year, we ended up finishing top three in the league. We went back to the tournament, and we went back to the tournament my senior year. Then they ended up winning the league, and then they went off to the races. So Coach Payne is a guy that on the floor, off the floor, does not matter. And I mean, I was getting married a couple years ago. Coach Painter called me. It was mid-recruiting season, mid-high school recruiting season. Coach Painter called and said, "Ray, I heard you getting married. Where is it at?" And I tell him, "It's in New Orleans, Coach. I didn't want to bother you." Coach Painter meets me there. He doesn't say anything. He just comes to the wedding with his wife, Sherry.
Wow.
He doesn't act like a coach. He doesn't sit away by himself. He doesn't seclude himself. He is right there with the family. He had my buddies coming up to me and checking to see if that was really him, because he's just a down-to-earth, regular guy. So I think Coach Payne, if you didn't know he was a head basketball coach, you would just think he was a real cool dude. And I think that's one of his best qualities.
Outstanding stuff here from Rafael Davis on Matt Payne, not only a basketball coach, but clearly much more than that, as it is Final Four Friday again. Purdue 6:09 tomorrow against NC State. We actually had Jaden Taylor on the show last week. Rafael had no idea that he was your cousin. I guess let's talk a little bit about the matchup itself. Certainly it's been a special run here. Backs against the wall routinely for NC State. What do you make of this matchup? I guess guard play can't get overlooked either. I know a lot's been Edie and Burns, but certainly NC State's got some guards that can go get buckets.
My bad. I was stuck on what you said. I think we've reached a point in our family. And Jaden Taylor, like, he's not like a family friend or anything. Like, that's my cousin. We've reached a point in the family where I have to mention he's my cousin. He no longer has to mention I'm his cousin. I'm really happy for him. And I still remember training at Perry. I think DJ Burns is an amazing player, but I think he's getting a lot of attention. He has a great personality. He's fun to watch. He had a great game versus Duke. But down low defensively, Zach Edey is a Kyle Filipowski. And Kyle Filipowski is a great player, going to go to the NBA. But he's not Zach Edey. He's not 7'4", obviously. And he's not 300 pounds, obviously. So I think that's a different monster down low. You go to that Marquette game that NC State won against better big, against real interior defenders, Burns really struggled. Just 4 points in the game, and it was DJ Horn. So I think Zach Edey can handle DJ Burns, or maybe they go Trey Compton-Wren on DJ Burns and make Zach Edey a double guy. I think that'll be interesting. But I think it'll come down to the guards. I think DJ Horn is a guy that can really score the ball. I think if he can make it a guards game, if DJ Burns can do just enough inside to where he can kind of compete with Zach Edey, and then DJ Horn is able to turn this into a guards game, and then you get O'Connell and Casey making some shots. And then I think my little cousin, Jaden Taylor, I think he is an X factor off the bench. I think coming off the bench, when he's able to get to the free throw line 7-8 times in a basketball game, he normally has success. They normally have success. So this is the thing where he comes out there and you see long closeouts from Fletcher Lawyer or from different guys that are doubling. If he's able to get in the lane and make plays and get to the line, that's going to open the floor for everybody else. So that's just going to – if NC State has a game where they're making 10-12 threes, I give him a shot. But if this is a game I like what Coach Painter says in the locker room. It will be certain games he would say this. And he didn't say this every game. And he only says that, I believe, when he's confident. He would say, only team that's going to beat us is the guys in this locker room. Purdue can't beat Purdue. And I think this is a game where Purdue can't beat Purdue. I think it's a game where Purdue can't have high turnovers. Purdue has to dominate the glass. They've got to make their free throws. And they got to do those things. Those are the things that they have, those non-negotiables. If the ball doesn't go in from three, that's fine. But if you don't turn it over, you dominate the glass, that's gonna be enough for Purdue. But I think this is a game where Lance Jones, Cam Heidi, Miles Colvin, Fletcher Lawyer, those complimentary guys offensively, I think they make shots compared to what happened against Tennessee.
Great breakdown of the game. 6:09 tomorrow, it's Purdue and NC State for a chance to go play Monday against either Alabama or UConn. Rafael Davis here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. All right, so back in 2015, you were a defensive player of the year, so you know playing defense and what that means for Matt Painter. And boy, Lance Jones has done that this year, but especially in this run to the Final Four. You mentioned chasing around Dalton Connect for the better part of 30 minutes on Sunday. Put yourself in his shoes, Lance Jones, the defense assignments that he may get against NC State on Saturday. What is that coaching like, and what's going through his mind as Matt Painter is relying so much on him on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think he's going to get DJ Horn. I think DJ Horn is a guy that can score the ball all three levels. He can make threes when he's going. He can get to a pull-up and a floater. He can finish at the basket. He's good off of a ball screen. So I think with guys like DJ Horn, guys that scored over 2,000 points in their career, it's not really about shutting them down because they're going to shoot the ball.
Right.
So it's more about – one thing that I always held my hat on as a defender was if DJ Horn gets 20 points, he has to shoot the ball more than 17 times. He can't have 8-9 free throws. He's got to have one or two free throws. And he's got to have 17, 18 shot attempts, and that's how he gets his 20. If he has 20 plus shot attempts, I really won. If a guy scored 20 on me, but they had 21 shot attempts or even 19 shot attempts, I won that matchup. I'm not looking at the point total. I'm looking at the field goals it took to get there. Because if a guy gets 20 off of 9 shots or 11 shots, and they're making free throws and they're feeling good about themselves, you lose that matchup. But when a guy is just forcing it, it's taking his teammates out of rhythm, other guys aren't getting shots they're used to, it's frustrating the offense. And when guys aren't getting the shots they're used to offensively, they don't play as hard defensively. So I will force him into as many tough pull-ups as I can, bundle him into Zach, make him finish over the big fella. So definitely give him no open looks. I think Dawn Connect early in that game, Purdue helped them get it going. And Dawn Connect is a great player. But I think Purdue lost him a few times. He got a few loose balls that got him open. But, like, he was open on a few of those. And when a good player sees the basketball go in a few times, especially early, the rim gets bigger. And I think if you can get into him early and knock him out of rhythm early, I think that'll really help Lance Jones against C.J. Horn and those guys. But I think for the perimeter, I think Fletcher Lawyer is going to have to be big time. I think Brandon Smith is going to have to be huge defensively. And then their guards off the bench, they're going to have to come to play. Because NC State, they're going to try to run. They're going to try to make this a guards game. They're going to try to turn Purdue over. They're going to try to get up and down. Because people look at Purdue and they see Zach Edey and they think Purdue can't run. But I think, like I said, I've been in the Coach Painter locker room. I know how he teaches. I know his philosophy. He wants to run. He wants to get in and go. So I think it's a win-win for Purdue in that aspect, but I think NC State will try to go.
Again, Rafael Davis is with us. Some terrific stuff here, not only on this matchup, obviously tomorrow night, but on Matt Painter as well and playing for him. Obviously, you see Rafael on the Big Ten Network. Rafael, I kind of forget. I know when you come on our show, you've mentioned your basketball camp here in Indy. Has that already happened, or where can we get more info on that?
Yeah, we actually had our basketball camp in Indianapolis over spring break, and actually Jaylen Taylor was our sponsor. And it's crazy because Jaylen helped put on camp or whatever, but then the thing is, I'm not going to say I didn't expect them to win the ACC tournament, but I didn't expect them to win the ACC tournament. And then once they got into the big dance, I picked them to go to this far. But I didn't expect them to get there. So I thought he would be able to maybe come to camp or zoom in to camp or do something. But my guy's been busy. They're playing in the Final Four. So if you go back and you look at that camp flyer, his picture is right there. And it was in honor of our grandmother, Gustoria Davis. And we did it right at the Learning Center, the fitness zone at the Learning Center at the Bonner Center over there by Tech High School. And it was great. We had 35 kids come out to play basketball at the free camp, but then we also had 30 young ladies come out and learn gymnastics. So we had a basketball and gymnastics camp. It was all for free, 65 kids. They all got a T-shirt. We gave out awards. Well, we gave out basketball school awards for guys with good character, the best teammate, guys with the most discipline. Because campus, I can teach you basketball all day, but that's the biggest thing that I learned from Purdue, learned from mentors in basketball, was discipline, was character, was learning how to have time management, was learning that even when you're alone, somebody could be watching. Even when you think no one's watching you and your buddy, somebody is watching. Or even telling the kids that when the seventh graders, that the eighth grade teachers, they already know about you. They already heard about you. They already have an idea about you. So your character and how people talk about you in rooms that you aren't in is important. And sometimes young people don't understand that. But then we also talk about what it means to be a sales rep. We had a lawyer come in and talk to the kids. We had physicians come in and talk. We even have mechanics or barbers and whatnot come in. We had one of the bigger barbers in town at camp talking with the kids, and he got his barber license when he was 16 years old, and he's been off to the races ever since. So I think it's good for kids to learn goals and learn, even with me, learning that they don't just have to play basketball. They could be in the media. They could be a coach. They could be even in marketing for a team in the NBA, in sales or something like that. So I think with young people, when they have goals, when they have multiple goals, maybe if they don't make their high school basketball team, they'll still have a goal. I have a kid in Fort Wayne that he's injured right now. He can't play sports, but he pulled me aside. He's been around us, been in our organization since sixth grade. And he said, Ray, I'm not stressed. He said, Ray, I'm good. He said, I know I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to Purdue. That's what I want to be. So I think when young people, when they have multiple goals and they see things that they normally don't see and it opens their eyes and they get attracted to something, when they have an opportunity to mess up or they have an opportunity to let something slip, they don't early. So many people are 15, 16, 14, 13. They don't have a goal, so it's easy to go get into some mischief. But when you have a goal and you know somebody cares about you and you know somebody can help you get to that goal, I think it's a little easier to stay out of trouble. So that's the biggest message from Ken.
Ray Fell, thank you, man. Thank you not only for the time, but what you're doing for young kids. That is absolutely outstanding. Just so much more than just a basketball camp where whatever you're working on defensive slides and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's really cool to see what you're doing and helping out not only, you know, our community here, but certainly communities all over the state. Thank you for the time. And as always, man, good luck with everything moving forward.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate the time you asked about the camp. And if anybody wants any more information on our nonprofit, we go to RayfieldDavisBasketball.com. We are 501c3. We have basketball camps, events, college trips, mentorship events, development events all throughout the year. So you can reach us there.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Tremendous from Mark Dykton there. Our re-entry each and every hour on this Friday morning as we inch closer to 6:09 tomorrow night. Safe travels to Purdue fans out there heading to the airport today. How many people do you think are making the trek driving? Do you think anybody's crazy enough?
Oh, my goodness.
They are.
I was about to say,
drive
Mark,
wherever.
Mark Dykton just did a 22-hour drive the other
day. Stop at Disney in New Orleans on the way.
He might be the one. Listen,
a day and an hour, is that what I'm seeing on the maps?
Yeah, there are people that like doing that. I mean, I don't know. You get the Winnebago out and you have some fun doing that. I don't know. I would not want to do that. I would want to just fly and be out there in 3.5-4 hours and not have to. You know, I used to like to drive. But now, you know, now I'm scared to death. I'm like, I can't do the dad thing that Mark Dykton did, and that's drive 20 hours. Like, I can't. I physically am not going to be able to do that.
I wouldn't be doing that in a Winnebago in 2024 either.
I literally think and pray for Mark every time he embarks on one of those trips. Thank you to CBS, Turner, Learfield, Purdue Global Radio Network for those items. Again,
great
Mark,
stuff.
Tremendous there. On the open, I'm sure Greg Rakestraw enjoyed that as well. He joins us right now. Rake, I love to tie in the big, big stories here locally, certainly the high school scene of the eight guys we saw. Pretty much eight are left in the rotation for Purdue right now, five from the Indiana high school ranks. I'll leave it pretty open-ended. Any memories of any of the five? I'm sure you got a lot of them, but anything stand out in particular from Smith, Lawyer, Colvin, Gillis? I know I'm forgetting somebody. Kaufman, Wren?
Sure. I had a chance to call a lot of their games over the last two or three years of their careers. Obviously, for Trey, it was being a part of two different state championships, and had not COVID happened in 2020, potentially a third at Silver Creek. For Braden Smith, while I was not there the night that Westfield won their first and currently only boys basketball sectional, I was there when he led that team to the Hall of Fame Classic Championship as a sign of what was possible. I think for that Westfield team, and knowing how special a player he was at the high school level, you know, obviously Caleb First is kind of out of the rotation right now, but he was Mr. Basketball 3 years ago. And watching them play a very competitive schedule for a school that's really 1A enrollment and is going to be up in 3A now going forward, you know, he comes to mind. For Mason Gillis, I'm so happy he has had the career that he has had, because knowing that he really missed back-to-back years. He did not play his senior year of high school and then redshirted his first year at Purdue because he was dealing with injuries. And so the fact that he has turned into such a reliable and valuable piece for Matt Painter, that's always good to see because of, again, what he went through to get to that point.
Greg Rakestraw with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Greg, I want to get your thoughts on what you think happens, obviously, coming up this weekend with both games, but especially Purdue. But while we're talking about players, you know, you're talking about Final Four. Even last night, you know, Dre Davis, a local kid here, he has a game-winning shot against Indiana State last night in Hinkle. Lawrence Central, now, I didn't see him in high school. I saw him when I followed U of L. He spent a couple years there. What do you remember about him and his recruitment and everything else back, this would have been 4 or 5 years ago now?
How good is your high school team when you have Jake LaRavia, NBA first round draft pick, Nigel Pack, one of the first big NIL guys to cash in at Miami, and Dre Davis?
And it's pretty good.
The younger Davis in Tay is your four starter or coming off the bench. How good your high school team when you've got that. It also shows you how difficult it can be to advance into the state tournament because what would have been Dre's junior year, LC won the sectional, beating the defending champs in Warren Central in the sectional final. There was one team that maybe was a bad matchup for him, and they got him. It was Ben Davis with DeJuan Jones at 6'8" and 350 pounds. BD beat Lawrence Central in the regional. BD makes all the way to the state championship game, where Carmel has John Michael Malloy, that obviously played Butler, and at least has a little bit of size to combat DeJuan, and Carmel ends up winning the state championship that year. The next year, LaRavia graduates, but both of the Davis brothers and Nigel Pack are part of a ridiculously good Lawrence Central team who had one team they couldn't get by, Lawrence North. LC went 22-3 that year, and all three losses were to Lawrence North in the regular season, in the Marion County Tournament Championship game, and in the opening night of the sectional at Lawrence Central. So, you know, Dre and his brother Tay, obviously both tremendous players at the high school level. What Dre has done is turn himself into more of a consistent jump shooter, and that's not exactly uncommon. As all of a sudden the level of defense and physicality you play against, you know, you go, okay, all right, I can't beat everybody. I'm playing off the dribble or post up everybody. I've got to become a better jump shooter. And clearly he did that. But it was the Indiana script, but not the Indiana script a lot of folks were hoping for last night at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Boy, credit though to him. That was a hell of a drive. That shot clock was winding down. It was a little chaotic, and that was a hell of a drive by Dre Davis there against Indiana State. You know him well. Obviously, he is Greg Rakestraw. He's with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline, continuing on this theme, Rake Indy flavor in the Final Four. Of course, Jaden Taylor we had on last week, the Perry Meridian, a grad who transferred from Butler. I had no idea this story until Kyle Nenrip wrote it yesterday in the Star, and I don't know if you even remember it. If there's anybody out there that would, it'd be you. Nate Oates coached against Cathedral High School at Cathedral in 2012 with Romulus High School in Michigan. Do you recall anything along those lines?
That had been erased from my memory. I don't remember because Cathedral plays much more of a regional schedule and is very much of the, hey, we'll play you mentality. I vaguely remember that game being on the schedule. I don't remember Nate Oates being a part of the conversation about that game on the schedule 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, three of the four coaches here in the Final Four coached in the high school ranks. Kevin Keats, Dan Hurley, and Nate Oates there. So a great story from Kyle Nenrip in the Star. He had some nice quotes from Andy Fagan, the opposite head coach of Cathedral from that game. Colin Hartman, Jalen Coleman, if you're thinking back to those Cathedral teams. Again, Greg Rakestraw is with us here. Payless Liquors Hotline. Rake, let's do put a bow tie on the boys' season, as Andy mentioned. And let's just start with the 4A game. I don't know if a lot of people maybe had John Anthony Hall on the list of, you know, will be the difference maker in this game, but it sounds like a hell of a performance from him as Fisher's gets it done, and really a great story.
Yeah, again, you know, he's much like Mark Zachary. He's a football basketball kid where the thought is his future probably is in football as a wide receiver, but he was tremendous. Both he and Keenan Garner both. And again, that Fisher's team to me is very reminiscent of last year's Ben Davis team where you can say, hey, this guy's good, this guy's good, this guy's good, but there's not one dominant player. There's not one guy that you say, hey, on this night, it's going to be this guy that has to beat you. It can be any one of five guys, if not more. And that, to me, was the story of Fisher's all season long, but especially last Saturday night. Now, their two best players played really well in terms of both Garner and Hall, and both guys, you know, making key threes, getting tough rebounds, just being outstanding players. But Fisher's was truly a group where it was about the sum of the parts, and they put together a phenomenal season, finishing 29-1, and then outscoring Ben Davis 18-8 in the fourth quarter to get that victory.
Unbelievable. Just a great Saturday and a great end to the season. You know, I know KBC to put a wrap on the high school stuff. I'm not saying you have a little bit of break because you have a bunch of different jobs, but whether it be basketball, football wise, you know, coaches potentially on the move, is there an off season? I say off season again, there is no off season, but an off season story high school wise that you're kind of watching over the next few months?
No, I mean, you frankly have to be cognizant of kids transferring. And typically that doesn't happen at the high school level until you get to June or July. So you do get a little bit of downtime. Kind of the next mile markers or stories, you get to all-star games. So like there's the HBCA game, which is the Southern Indiana game, which takes place on Sunday. There's the Hoosier Gym Classic, which is a pretty good representation. I would say gets 20 of the top 30 players in the state in that game. That's coming up on April the 27th. Obviously, there is the Indiana-Kentucky game, the games that will take place, because now it's five different days of basketball over the course of 7 days. The traditional Indiana-Kentucky games, Friday in Kentucky, Saturday, and that Saturday would be June 8th at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. But you start to get kind of the wins in terms of, you know, are there players that are on the move or playing for somebody else? You kind of see that when the semester ends in late May, early June, and then you have kind of the one-month break in AAU basketball where guys, you know, you play with your teams and things like the Charlie Hughes shootout and workouts and things like that. And then you kind of go, oh, well, so-and-so is playing for this guy. In terms of coaching moves, there will always be coaching moves. but it was a pretty busy kind of rotating set of chairs last year in terms of local basketball, which from a coaching standpoint, which kind of tells me it won't be as active this time around. We'll see, but for now, you're kind of hitting all-star season, and then you're also seeing in terms of, especially, it's a little bit different now because of the portal.
Sure.
You know, there are some better players. Like, as I look at that Hoosier, I've got the Hoosier Gym Classic roster in my mind because I saw it a couple of times yesterday. There's a few more undecided on those kids than there normally would be, again, because there's just fewer spots at the table because so many schools are like, hey, we'll see in a year or two. If you play well someplace else, the only thing about bringing you into our program, because so many colleges are recruiting from other colleges, not from high school these days, so there's a few more undecideds going into that game you would have had in years gone by.
Rake, when does Mr. I lied, I got one more on the high school front. When does Mr. Basketball get announced?
I believe the date is April 19th. That is in conjunction with the Indianapolis Stars High School Sports Awards show. So I think that is 2 weeks from today, I believe.
And do we just assume it's Flory Badunga, or does Jack Benter have a case?
It is a two-man race. I would lean towards Flory Badunga, but clearly Jack Benter is going to get a lot of votes, and especially because of the fact of he's going to Purdue,
yep,
led his team to a state championship. He is a really good player. It is a two-man race. I think it's Flory's, but Benner will keep the race competitive, let's put it that way.
And is that strictly a coach's vote? I know you said coinciding with the Indy Star.
There are media votes that goes along with that as well.
Gotcha.
So that is there's a lot of folks that vote for that award.
Got it.
Greg Rakestraw joining us here on this Final Four Friday on the Wake Up Call. He joins us on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Greg, let's get to Purdue now. I mean, we can get your prediction, what you think happens on Saturday if they win, of course, on Monday. But let's go back. How great that Tennessee game was, how great this run has been to the Final Four. You're watching that, the emotion that you see on Sunday. What was going through your mind as you saw on Sunday night Purdue advancing to the Final Four, and now Greg, they got to refocus and get things done tomorrow night?
Well, first of all, again, when you do what I do for a living, what we do for a living, you tend to root people that you like. And there's a lot of people at Purdue that I like, you know, whether it's the guys that I covered as high school basketball players, whether it's the folks behind the scenes, you know, whether it's the obvious in terms of Matt Painter, you know, but I know a lot of the guys that are assistant coaches on that team too. And I'll give you an example. There's a person that you always see kind of around Matt Painter, and those on the program know who he is. His name is Elliot Bloom. And Elliot went the sports information route before he then went the coaching/basketball ops route. I have known Elliot since 1998 when I am working across town at a different sports radio station, and he's our intern answering phones. And to see him get to have that moment, you know, makes me smile. And there's a similar story in terms of, again, a lot of the support people that aren't on the bench, people that have been, you know, Purdue folks forever. And for this fan base in general that always has, you know, the football pulled out from them as they get ready to kick it, a la Charlie Brown style, I love the fact that they're in the Final Four, because that's one less piece of torment for Purdue fans. Now I hope they can take it all the way and win the next two games. Getting back to the game itself against Tennessee, you know, that was a game where Purdue had to scrap. And obviously Edie was just tremendous, as he has been, you know, each of the last two seasons and, you know, throughout the entire course of the NCAA tournament. But I think it speaks volumes that Purdue can still win that game on a day where they were miserable from three-point range, and they still found a way to win. That is a good sign, I think, for potentially two more games this weekend.
They got a spot on right there. Greg Rakestraw with us here, as he does every Friday, courtesy of CarX. Rake, enjoyed the high school chats all season long. Hopefully we can keep it somewhat consistent here as we get into the summer months, which I know a little bit quieter on your end. But as always, man, thank you and have a great weekend.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.